Welcome to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam of the Loyalty House International, a denomination originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, UDOLGC. Called of God, he ministers under the anointing of his father, Bishop Dagheward Mills. Bishop Sam is the resident bishop of the Loyalty House International, Abbey Dawenya, off the Dawenya-Afenya Link Road. He oversees many churches, both in Ghana and abroad. May the power of God be activated in your life today as you listen to Active Word.
Put your hands together. When you close down wherever you are,
to the voice of God to be.
Is there anything too hard for me? So put your trust in God alone. Everything
is possible with God.
Nothing is impossible. Put your hands together. It's impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible
when you trust in His word. Happy to the voice of God.
Is there anything too hard for me? So put your trust in God alone
and rest upon His word.
For everything,
yes,
everything is possible with
God.
Put your hands together for Jesus.
Yes.
Nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. If you put your trust in God, amen. Is it possible? Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for Jesus and take our seats. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Why don't you welcome your friend sitting next to you on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday morning. Who is the person happy Resurrection Sunday morning? Oh, tell somebody happy Resurrection Sunday morning. Hey. Beautiful. Beautiful. Father, we thank you for today. We give you praise. We give you glory for this Resurrection Sunday morning. We pray that it is not going to be the same for us, and our lives are going to be changed and touched. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful. So let's turn our Bible to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. We are going to talk about the resurrection. Today is Resurrection Sunday morning. And we are going to talk about the resurrection. Isn't it? Beautiful. So Acts chapter 1 verse 1. It says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Of all that Jesus began both to do what? To do and to teach. Both to do and to teach. Until the day in which he was taken up. Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Hallelujah. So this book is telling us everything Jesus came to do. He taught and he did. And then it recorded until the day he was taken up. That's the resurrection of the dead. Do you remember the day he was taken up? The resurrection of the dead. Now, If you read verse 9 following of the same chapter, it says that, and when he had spoken these things, you see, so Jesus came to do things until his resurrection, and he gave instructions to the apostles. You get it? Now, what is the instruction? Instruction about the resurrection. He came to live with us to make us to see and to hear. And then he was taken up and he gave instructions. Now, one of the things he said was that they should talk about what they had seen. They should go and talk about what they have seen. And they wouldn't be able to say it on their own. They need the Holy Spirit. Because what they had seen was supernatural. It's very powerful. So they needed the Holy Spirit to help them. So they wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And then you shall be witnesses. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of what he came to do, to teach, until he was taken up. So witnesses of even the resurrection. Everything he came to stand for is what we are supposed to witness about. Hallelujah. So witnessing is talking about what Jesus came to do and to teach, confirmed by the resurrection. Amen. So from the verse 9, he said that, and when he has spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You know, when Georgina was singing, you saw the picture that came. So touching and so moving. Do you get it? Did you see yourself in that cloud? Or you don't want it to happen now. And a cloud was taking him up out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up. Have you seen a picture? Wow. Have you seen yourself among one of them? Huh? You saw the brother who came here. When he came, he was very confident. He was so sure that his name was in the book of life. He was so sure. Even before he got there, he was rejoicing. He was happy. So, I think he remembered so many things he had done in life and thought that he was overqualified. And he was very disappointed to see that his name was not in the book of life. Hey, what a shock. That's why anytime I hear this song, that song there, anytime I hear it, I try to look at my life to see what is happening. Amen. Bible says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Two men stood by them. And what did they say? Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Why are you gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. Hallelujah. Shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Hallelujah. He said that as you have seen him going like that, and you are gazing, and you are confused, and you are surprised, and you are amazed. He defied the laws of what? Gravity. He just went like that. And whilst you were looking, so why are you surprised? Why are you amazed? This same Jesus you see going, one day, this same Jesus will come. The same way you have seen him gone or going, that same way, he's going to return. Hallelujah. And that is why we must always be ready. Bible says his return shall be like a thief in the night. How many of you have had something that has been stolen before? Or you yourself, you have stolen before. You realize the person who stole the thing didn't steal it whilst you were aware of yourself. Didn't steal it at the time you thought it would be stolen. Hey, one day I had my iPad and I went somewhere. I knew the iPad was on me. But at a point, I saw my phone that I have left my iPad behind. So I thought, oh, then it will be where I left it. But by the time I realized the iPad was working. The iPad was working on its own. It has reached Awoshi. And it was going towards Amasaman. I said, hey! From Awoshi, you go to Amasaman, it's around that direction. Hey! There is a new owner. And he came at the time I did not expect. I was so sure that the iPad was on me. I was so sure. But the iPad was working elsewhere. So I went to where I left it. Now I'm sure the person was looking at me and watching and planning. As soon as I left, the iPad was gone. Another time I had a friend. Went somewhere, then his phone was taken. So we went for another device to look for where his phone was. Do you know where the phone was? The phone was found in the cemetery. Yeah. When the person realized that the phone had find me activated, I think he put something on. Tracking device. Whoever stole it went to leave it in a cemetery. Oh. So we called somebody around that area to go to the cemetery to go and bring the phone. I told the brother, this one, if you use it, you shall receive a call from somebody. The phone will be ringing. When you take the call, somebody will say hello, you'll be surprised. He said, this same Jesus. So Jesus will definitely come back. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He will definitely come back. But he will not come at a time that you are expecting. You will not come at a time you expect. But he gave commands. He told the disciples what to do. What he said we should do is what we should be doing. For when he comes, will he find you doing what he has asked you to do? Will he find you doing it? What has he asked us to do? So we should witness. Witness about him, the things he came to teach, the things he came to do, until he was taken up. That means that his death and his resurrection. We should just talk about it. Hallelujah. We should just talk about it. Let everybody know that there's a heaven, there's a hell, there's a resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. That's why we are celebrating Resurrection Sunday. It's not like today is the day that Jesus has risen from the dead. No. He rose from the dead long time ago. But we are just reminding ourselves to have faith in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Because see, the Christian walk is a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. And anytime you doubt something that the word has said, you realize you are not able to do it well. Amen. You have faith in it. In John 11, I read a few verses and we'll close and go home. In John 11, 25, this is what we should talk about. Do you get it? This is what we should talk about. We should talk about the resurrection of the dead, what he did and everything. He said, Jesus said unto her, and do you remember this story? It's about who? It's about who? You don't remember, okay, Lazarus. John 11 is about Lazarus. Do you get it? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am what? The resurrection and the life. He said he came that you have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. I came that you have life and have it more abundantly. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. It means that when you die, you will live. He that believeth in me. So Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And that's why I said we should go and talk about. That I know a Jesus who can give you life. Hallelujah. Amen. I know a Jesus who can give you life. He is a resurrection and he is life. Hallelujah. Amen. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. How many of you know someone who has died before? Plenty. Gone too soon. Your mother, Okay. He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Do you believe it? If you believe, you will never die. Do you believe this? How many of you believe this? How many are still not sure? Believeth thou this? Hey, I am the resurrection. Believe it. So you need to believe. Do you get it? You need to believe that Jesus died and rose again. Amen.
Amen.
Then we go to John 5:29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of the life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Which means that, yes, he is the resurrection and the life. Even though you are dead, you don't die. And he said there are two kinds of resurrection. Two kinds of resurrection. There is one that you resurrect unto life. So all manner of people shall rise again. Do you get it? It's not only believers. Everybody shall rise again. But there's one resurrection, the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. This is what we are supposed to talk about. That there is the resurrection of the dead. But resurrection for everybody. They that have done good. If you have done good, your name will be in the book of life. And when they read it, they shall find your name there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you shall have the resurrection of life. See, I came that you have life. Resurrection unto life. And then there's also resurrection unto damnation. Those who don't believe. Those who don't believe. They will have the resurrection of damnation. Amen.
Amen.
And then the next verse I want to read. And we go on. It's Revelations 20:14. Wow. Hey. He said that, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the second death. So we are telling ourselves and we are telling people about the resurrection of the dead, that there is the first death. The first death is when you put up this body. When you put up this body that contains you. And there's the second death. For the first death, everybody shall die. Everybody shall die. No matter how much money you have. No matter how long you live for. Well, however careful you are, everybody shall die. And when you look at dead people, you see that young men are dead, old men are dying. Anytime I go to a cemetery, one of the things I read is the tombstone. I read and I always look for the number, how old the person was. 1818. So that 1818 to 1901. That's how many years? 81. 1818 to 1901. Yes. 83. Okay. So when you hear it's about, say it's 3,000 years. It's only 83 years. And sometimes you see, born 1982, died 2011. How old is that? This one is too soon. 29 years. So you see, 29 years, 91, though they are so 119.
Wow.
119. Last December, I celebrated the birthday of my father-in-law. He was 100 years officially. Do you get it? That's not official, it's more than 100. But when he was going to look for work, he had to reduce his age so that they would employ him. But we celebrate 100 years. And the man is alive. He reads his own WhatsApp messages. 100 without glasses. Hey, what a blessing. You are 28 already, your jonku, your waist is fed, you can't even stand. You can't walk for more than 1 hour. Hey. So the first one is when we put off the body. And that one, everybody shall die. Do you know that? Everybody shall die. No matter what time you have. Young men shall die, old men will die. Everybody shall die. But there's another death. That is the second death. And that is what the resurrection is teaching us, that the first death has no power over us if you have Jesus. The first death has no power over us if you have Jesus. And therefore, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be afraid to die. Just like you shouldn't plan to die. You get it? You shouldn't live to die. But you shouldn't be afraid to die. How many of you are afraid to die? Nobody wants to die. All of you have vitamins. You have all sorts of things. Vitamin C, vitamin D. You have treadmill. Ginger power. Everything. Something bitters. Everything for you so that you will not die. You are just. Amen. But I tell you, the second death is real. It's also real. And that's what Jesus said we should talk about. We should tell you that, look, as you are sitting here, when you die and we come and put you here, you are not dead. It's just the first one. And what you'll be afraid of is not the first death, though. It's the second one. As for the first death, dear, as for the first death, when you die, you can't do anything about it. So what you'll be afraid of is the second one. Even the first one, when you die, we will decorate your body. Even if you, look, you are a dead person, your body has been made so nice that you are smiling. Wow. And even this day, depend on your profession. They can make you either stand. If you're a teacher, you hold a pen. Like, as I'm a pastor like this, I'll be holding a Bible. Hey! One day, I sent some people to a funeral. When they came, they were very, very bored. I said, what happened? He said, when they went, they were looking for the dead body. So they went in, it's a village somewhere in one of the regions. And they traveled there, they were looking for the body. So they were looking for it, but then somebody said, oh, this is the body. They turned. The person was standing and was holding a Bible and was writing the Bible. He said, look, something almost entered into him. He said he almost screamed. Because he didn't know that that was there. He thought the person has come out to life. So as for the first day, these days, have you made it so nice? If you're a footballer, you'll be playing football. So you shouldn't be afraid of the first death. It's the second one. It's the second one that you should be afraid of. That death is a certain death. Do you get it? Bible says, and death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. It looks as if death is a person. Yeah, death is a person. It's a being. And hell is also something. And they were both there, and they were all fighting. They were all frightened. Fire was burning them. That's what is going to happen. And that's what Jesus came to teach and to do and finish it with the resurrection of the dead. And that's what we have to tell ourselves. If someone has invited you here, that's the only thing the person is telling you. That avoid the second death without Christ. And you can only avoid that by accepting Jesus once you are alive. Amen. That's all. You can only avoid that by accepting Jesus once you are alive. When you die, nothing else can be done about it. When you die, nothing else can be done about it. This is now. This is the time. This is the time that you have to accept Jesus. Because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. He said, do you believe it? So this is about the resurrection. And there's a passage in the Bible, a special chapter in the Bible, dedicated to the resurrection of the dead. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll take just a few portion of it, verses of it, and we will be closing. Amen. Amen. And we'll be closing in the sense that we will give an opportunity to avoid the second death unto damnation. You should resurrect unto life, not unto damnation. So 1 Corinthians 15, 12. It says so many things about the resurrection of the dead. Some people were saying there's no resurrection. So this problem we have now about people saying that there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's those that it has happened before. It's not new. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? How? So you can say the person was responding to something that was going round. He was responding to something. And do you know that as we live today, people still don't believe that Jesus rose again from the dead. But some people still don't believe. Even people are sitting here right now, listening to me, they don't believe. And some of you used to believe, and they are still in church, but now they don't so believe it. They don't so believe it. Do you get it? How can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. It's as simple as that. Is that not so? And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. And our faith is in vain. Look, I'm shouting, hallelujah! Amen! Resurrection Sunday, we have come to sing. Then sings my soul, my soul. That's what the song we sang. I mean, we sing it. Look at how I'm teaching, sweating. If Christ has not risen, then my preaching is vain. Then your faith is also vain. If Christ has not risen, it's vain. Amen. 15. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. If it is true that the dead are not raised, do you get it? Then we are misrepresenting God. All these reverends and popes and bishops and shepherds and especially center leaders and all these who are going around bringing people on buses that they should come and receive Jesus, they are misrepresenting God. Amen. Amen. Verse 16. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. It's the Bible I'm reading, oh. It's on my notebook. Please, are you understanding me? Are you here? I should go somewhere to go and preach. No, I think I should go to Cornerstone. Okay. If you want me to preach it, then I will continue preaching. It's not in vain. Somebody says it's not in vain. I should continue preaching. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. Then why are we here? Why are we here wearing white? Why are we here? 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Hey, why didn't they tell us early? So that by now I would have brought my turtle dove and my goat and cow to come and sacrifice for my sins. When you are telling me that Christ has died and my sins are forgiven. Hey, so all of you who think that your sins are forgiven, how many of you here think that your sins are forgiven? Including all your sins. That particular one, you know. Hey, all your sins. Yesterday's one. Even the new one that is yet to come. If Christ had not been raised, then you are still in your sins. Yeah. You are still in your sins. Me, I haven't sinned before. I'm sure I'm like this. It's time to think about the sin that she has sinned. And so she's thinking about which of the sins. You know, I had a friend, when I told him to be born again, he didn't know which one to be born again of. And I could also testify Do you get it? The only sin I remember was when I gave him a glass of palm wine. That one I remember, I gave it to him. And that was his first time of drinking. And so this is palm wine. It doesn't do anything bad. When it's time to eat, he legs like some madman in the dormitory. Hey. So some are asking, what sin are you talking about? What sin are you talking about? But you are still in your sins. The fornication, adultery, stealing, lying, they are manifestation of the sin in you. Manifestation. You get it? It's just that you can have malaria parasite, but you will not show the no symptoms. Yeah, they are there, but how many of you went to do malaria test? You went to malaria test, you knew that you were sick, but they said it was negative. Yeah. And by the doctor said, you take it anyway. Yeah. So the adultery, the fornication, the lying, the stealing, all those, they are manifestation of sin. But that's for the sin that you were born in sin. You were born in sin. It's in your DNA. Do you get it? And so it's not the manifestation. Hallelujah. But you are still in your sin if Christ did not raise from the dead. 18. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Hey. It means that Peter, James, and John, Peter was bragging that if you want to crucify me, don't crucify me like Jesus was crucified. I cannot share this honor with God. Crucify me upside down. Don't give me that respect. Don't make me equal with my maker. Crucify me upside down. And some people have sacrificed a lot and still sacrificing because they believe that there is a resurrection of the dead. Bible says, if it is not, then what are you sacrificing for? What are you sacrificing for? Hey, if for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are all men most to be pitied. If our faith is only for this life, hey, we'll be miserable, we'll be pitied. This life. You know this life? Have you seen cars before? Yeah. This life has a lot of things. This life. If you like, Bible says Moses, he chose to suffer affliction. And the Bible said, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. So this life, there are pleasurable things. Pleasurable things. Hey! You think you are blowing life in this life, chilling. Look, I've seen houses, most of it I've seen in films. But I've seen something with my own eyes. Houses, I say, wow. I've seen cars. You are living in your own house. This life, there are things. But you say you are a Christian. So you are not enjoying some of those things. Hey, there are some sisters sitting here. If they want to change their lives by this afternoon, the man that has been making the approach, they just need to give the man a call after service. They just have to give the man a call. So, please, I've thought about it. And I will do. Hey. That alone, by tomorrow morning, a new car will be there with a key. Say, take. That alone. Hey, you see the nice houses at the Tekwashi run about there. Oh, by tomorrow morning, they'll say you have gotten one flat. I think that when I see, they say that 1 million from 1 million above or something like that. 1 million and above. Starting from $1 million. Oh, can see some people here. If only it wasn't for this life, tomorrow, no. Life will change. But you say you have Christ. If for this life only we hope in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. Look, some of these guys in church, if they want to do something to get money, I know a brother, somebody came with an envelope, $60,000. They put it on his table to do this for this person. He said, I won't do it. He was a queer. He said, I won't do it. And he lost the job. He said, I won't do it. And when you think, why didn't you just take it and go and confess? You get it. It's not why didn't you just. It's not a just matter. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not a just matter at all. Hey, you can get. That's what shall it profit a man or a woman if you can get everything. I know once I had a beautiful, nice husband. We're all friends. When this brother married her, they said, I'm going to America. The brother helped her and she went to America. Then the brother wanted to join her. Every time, wait. So one day the brother gathered his own money, did his own thing, and he appeared in America. So when he got there, he called, said, I've come. He said, oh, okay, you know what? When I came, I needed to stay. So I went to marry. But it's not proper marriage. It's not proper marriage. I've just married for papers. But me and the man, we are not married. So, you know, when you come, I'll bring you home. But when you come, tell the man that I'm your sister. Hey. That's Abraham and Sarah. I'm your sister. And you are my brother. The brother too. He says, okay, I'm your brother. You're my sister. So they went to get a place for him. But he realized that this is my wife. The way he'd been sleeping in the house, and they said, this man is my marriage of thing. Because this marriage of thing, they don't live together. Do you get it? So one day, the gentleman was married to the girl. He's a German, you know, I. You see, me German. So I, you know, respect, man. So the man said, no human being should suffer. Hey, my bro. Hey, bro, the woman, no, I can see that you and her, the way you are behaving, it's not like it's your sister. I can feel there's something more. Then he told her, me, I want to tell you that me, I'm married to her properly. This is my friend who I'm married to her properly. So the guy was confused. I'm even forcing not to mention the name. The guy was confused. So he went to confront the girl. The girl was saying, no, why this if you don't get that? So the brother had to take his things and leave him in the house they rented for him. He left the state to another state. So not long after, this our friend lady, she went to buy a brand new car. And she was taking for test driving. That day, she hit an electricity pole. And that was the end of her life. So what shall it profit a woman? If you are getting America and lose your own soul, what shall it profit a woman? The thing that you are going for, you can die and leave it. You will die and leave it. What shall it profit? Do you get it? So, if only in this life, so sometimes we suffer in this life and we have to go through some problems. Because of Christ. Hallelujah. Are you getting it?
Yeah,
20. But in fact. Everybody say, but in fact. Tell your friend, but in fact. Christ has been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. It is a fact. Even some of you ladies sitting here, you're already planning that this church business and this Christ business. Even some people said, I'm going to have a child with somebody and come back to Christ. Because the man is not coming. I'm going to have a child and come. I know somebody like that. I know someone like she was in our church. And she went to have the child and came back. And she died after, not long after she died. We went to bury her. Yeah. We went to bury her. So you're not the first person thinking about it. Pray for forgiveness. Amen.
So it is not easy, but if only in this life. That is why sometimes you feel like doing some of the things that you used to do. How many of you have felt like going to drink again? Or going back to your lime momo, old firewood. That's what they say, it's a lime momo. That means your former, your ex. How many of you have felt like that before? You see, there's an honest person here. All of you are pretending. Hey! Just yesterday, I saw something on social media. And the woman said she has regretted leaving her ex. Yeah. She has regretted leaving her ex. And I was looking and said, my ex will wash my car for me. My ex will cook for me. My ex will do that. Talking for America. Then she said that, it's not because he's a fanti. I said, what? Yeah, American woman, you're talking, how did the fanti come in? No, he's married to a fanti man. And the fanti man is doing all these things for her. And she left him. What do you have? Take it like that, too. When you lose them. But that's just by the way. Amen. I was saying that, in fact, Christ has been raised and first fruit of all those who have fallen asleep. So with this, let us just establish 2-3 facts and we close. Do you get it? Number one, we are going to our core beliefs, the things we believe, core beliefs. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Is that what he says? Yes. Now, the question is that, has Christ been raised?
Yes.
Has Christ been raised?
Yes.
Even if Christ has not been raised, you didn't see, but say we believe by faith.
Yes.
We believe by faith. So has Christ been raised?
Yes.
Then what does it mean? Then my preaching is not in vain. Yes. That's all that it means. It means you have to like the preaching. And you have to do the preaching. It's not in vain. You should like preaching. When people tell you that, why are you always listening to preaching? Why are you always going to church? Tell the person, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. You are listening to your radio from morning till evening. You don't say that you are listening to radio too much. And I'm listening to my preaching from morning till evening. You say you are listening to preaching too much. Why? Why? Because it's not in vain. Are you getting me? It means you're coming to church to hear me preach. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. You don't look like the people I should preach to today. Maybe I should go to another branch. Or are you sure those are the back? Should I leave? Are you sure? Can you hear me? Okay. I should come here. Okay, they say they want me here. Those people here, they don't want me there. They want me here. Yeah. My preaching is in vain to this ones. If Christ has been raised, then the preaching is not in vain. No. It's not in vain. That's why if you have to come to church on Sunday, don't complain. The day is going to come. What will matter most is the preaching you are hearing. But it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Number 2, verse 14 again. And your faith is also not in vain. Consider, if Christ is not risen, and your faith is also in vain. But now that he's risen, what does it mean? Your faith is not in vain. Your faith in heaven, your faith about Christian life, your faith about Christ, nothing is impossible. All those things is not in vain. And I don't think my faith is in vain. No. I believe the word of God and I believe it is true. I believe it is true. Amen. Your faith is not in vain. Then verse 17. He says that, and if Christ be not raised, you are yet in your sins. You are yet in your sins. So now that Christ has been raised, are you in your sins? If you have accepted Jesus Christ, are you in your sins? Your sins are forgiven. If you believe in Christ, do you get it? Now, let me tell you, anybody who tells you that your sins were forgiven, so if you are a homosexual, if you are a drunkard, if you are a murderer, your sins are already forgiven. So God has forgiven you because Christ died before you did it. There's something wrong. He can get all the television coverage he wants, but there's something wrong down here, the heart. The heart is corrupted. They come and tell me that this verse means that even before you sin, Christ has forgiven you your sins. Christ forgave you the sin before you did it. Can you believe such nonsense? No. It's nonsense. Your sins are forgiven because Christ is risen from the dead and because you have believed him. He has forgotten that there's a Romans 10, 9, and 10. He has forgotten. Where did he learn his theology from? He has forgotten that that verse is there. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, that's what the Bible says. You shall be saved.
Hallelujah.
And if you believe not in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you are not telling the truth. If you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then you are saved. Then when you are saved, then the Bible says in 1 John 1, 9, following that, if we sin and we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So the forgiveness becomes a process. But if you don't confess and you die in the sin, you have died in your sins. Therefore, it's not once saved, forever saved. It's not once saved, forever saved. Anybody who tells you that is lying to you. He wants to go there, the second death unto damnation. He wants to go with you. He doesn't want to go alone. So let the person go alone. Do you get it? Beautiful. So your faith is not in vain, isn't it? Your faith is not in vain. And your sins are forgiven. Oh, beautiful. Your sins are forgiven. Then, verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That means that those who are dead, they are dead forever. But Christ was raised, isn't it? Which means that those who have died in the Lord, they shall be raised again unto eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So believers, let us believe. Amen. Let us believe. Amen. That of all that Jesus began both to teach and to do, until the day he went to the ground and he came after the third day, he showed himself to them and then he was taken up to the heavens to show that everything I've said to you, everything I've said to you is true. He said, I am way. I mean, somebody who has not been there before is telling you that there's nothing like that. And somebody who was there, he said, I am the way. I went down there in Africa. He said he was seen by people when he got up. Some people send money to people that they should go and say that his body has been stolen. Do you remember? Yes, and they are still doing it. They are still doing it. Sending man to say the body has been stolen is the same as saying that the pastor has done that, the pastor has done, so that you don't hear the word. It's the same, they are still doing it. Amen. Amen. So, what have we learned today? We have learned that our sins are forgiven. Yes. Amen. Yes. And your sins can only be forgiven if you confess your sins and believe in Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. That's how your sins are forgiven. You can never ever do anything to atone for your sins. No, it's just by grace. Hallelujah. Amen. And our faith is well grounded. Galatians 2:20. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith in God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we believe also that those who are fallen asleep are still alive. All dead men who died in Christ and those who even died in Christ, they are alive. But they shall rise either to eternal condemnation or eternal life. Their life. And also there's a heaven and there's a hell. How many of you believe that there's a heaven and there's a hell? That's the good news. That's what the Bible is saying. And all this, if you want to know, is in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. It's the parable of rich man and Lazarus. Yeah. The parable of rich man and Lazarus. They are all there. And how many of you have heard of the story of rich man and Lazarus? Hey, who hasn't heard it before? Hey, some people have not heard it before. I hear. Okay. It's a long parable. But it says that Luke 16:19-24. I'll just read it. There was a certain rich man. So this one I'm just reading to show that everything I've said is here. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Hey. But listen, let me just let you know that being poor doesn't mean you are going to heaven. And being rich doesn't mean you are going to hell. There can be some poor people who go to hell. But if you are poor, you go to hell. That's double agony. Do you see? That's double agony. Do you get it? But there can be poor who go to, and there can be rich people who go to heaven. You are rich on earth and you go to heaven as well. I think that one is the greatest. Is that not so? How many rich people here are going to heaven? You are rich, eh? Beautiful. Now, Bible says that, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Can you imagine? All of them died, though. I said one of them was carried by angels. One of them was carried by angels with a motorcade. Siren. You're on heaven's highway. And they are giving you traffic. And wonder why you're honorable. Original honorable. Angels are can't. Your protocol are angels. Not the motorcade. Angels. Police motorcade. Come. Look at you. When you die. Angels are come to meet you. But the rich man died. He was buried. On earth, there was a fanfare. But in the heaven, they described as just buried. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. And Bible says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes and in torment. So we show that there's a hell. Is that not so? And then he wanted to get salvation there. But Abraham said it was too late. Salvation, you have to get it now. When you die, you can't change. You can't change. So you have to get it now. Yes. When you go to verse 25, Abraham told him something. Remember that in your lifetime, you receive your good things. So now, there's a great God fixed. Now, what I like about this story is the verse 27 and 29, and we'll be closing. The verse 27 and 29, that is what touches me in the verse. He says that, then he said, I pray thee, Father, that you will send him to my father's house. Now the man died. Now in hell. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you will send him to my father's house. Next verse. For I have five brothers, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come here to the place of torment. I have five brothers. I have five sisters. I have some siblings at home. Anytime I tell them I'm going to church, they will laugh at me. And not only that, I've also misled them. Because I was the one who was feeding them, and I was the one who was giving them money, I made them also to believe that there's no God. So they believe everything that I have told them. So please, I want you to go and talk to them for me. Can you imagine? Perhaps you have a friend who has died. Maybe he didn't go to heaven. He went to hell. But the way the person is tormented, the person is wishing that as you are hearing me preach this word, you will give your life to Jesus. That's what the person is wishing. Because hell is not a good place to go at all. The same man, when he was alive, he wouldn't take Jesus. When he was alive, when you make utter call, he would look at the friend and say, I'm too big to go forward. I'm too big to give my life to Jesus. The same man, even he was invited to church like this. And when they were preaching, he told his friend, why did you bring me here? The pastor is talking too much. The pastor is talking. Doesn't you know that Arsenal and Manchester City are going to play? The pastor is talking too much. I want to go home. I want to go home. Yeah, he's disturbing. I don't even understand all this shouting. Now somebody in hell that you know He said, brother, listen to what he's saying. Listen. Because the person has turned to an evangelist. Supposing this person was resurrected and became a Basenta leader. I'm sure by now the whole car park, his buses will be there. Because what he has seen it before is hell. Yes. He said that I have 5 brothers. Some of you have brothers at home. You have sisters at home. You have parents at home who are not born again. Don't take it for granted. Make sure that you get them to salvation. Look, one of the things that would be most painful is that somebody you love. Because the rich man saw Lazarus, and Lazarus saw the rich man. Somebody you loved, you were sleeping together on the same bed. Then you see that the person is tormented in hell, crying, oh, dear brother, oh, please, please. And you can't do anything. But I pray that maybe in heaven, you don't recognize your wife. Is that not so? If you meet your wife, you don't, then maybe you don't recognize your siblings too. You, maybe that may make it easier. Otherwise, it will be very painful. It will be very painful. He said, my brother, my sister, my husband. Then the next verse. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophet. Let them hear them. This afternoon, hear the word of God. You see, sometimes you think if somebody dies and comes from the dead, you believe it. But you'll be shocked. So this person is a ghost. This person is this. Amen. Amen. So today, we believe that our faith is not in vain. There's the resurrection of the dead. And there are 2 deaths, the first and the second. Depending on who you believe in, you accept, then you have life eternally. Then we also believe that our sins are forgiven. Only in Christ. And because we believe in heaven, we are not compromising our faith. But we believe that there's a heaven. And Paul has made us aware, or the Corinthians have made us aware, that when you're a Christian, one of the things you do, you may go through suffering. You may go through all those things. But because of your faith, you still believe in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And then at the end of the day, Jesus said we should witness about his resurrection. What he came to do and to teach until the day he was taken. We should talk about it. When we talk about it, that is what it will mean, that we are giving meaning to the death of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Wow. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, maybe as you prepare to close, somebody invited you here today, or you came on your own. But deep down in your heart, you want to say that, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. You came on your own, or someone invited you to church. But deep down in your heart, you heard this word, and you want to say that, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die the second death. I want to go to Jesus. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Now you want to say that, Pastor, my friend invited me. I came here on my own. Someone invited me. As you pray, deep down in my heart, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want God to wash me with his blood. And I want to be born again. So please, pray for me. Pray for me to give my life to Jesus. You are here like that with every eye closed, every head bowed. I want you to lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you right now to give your life to Jesus. Lift up your hand and say, Pastor, lift it up high. God bless you. Lift it up high. Up high. God bless you. Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, those of you here, I want you to know that you have done a very important thing. This is the game changer in your life, that you are giving your life to Jesus. But say, come unto me and I'll give you rest. You are giving your life to Jesus. I want you to say this with me, mean it with your heart. And that thing that we spoke about of having life is going to come to you and you shall receive life. Maybe you are born again already, but you want to rededicate your life to God. Maybe this is not your first time of coming. You've been to church before, everything, but you want to rededicate your life to God because you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. How many of you are still sitting down? You are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell when you die. Can you give me a wave? You are born again, but you are not too sure whether you go to heaven or hell when you die. Can you give me a wave? Oh, okay. I've seen those hands. Please, if your hand is up, can you rise up and come and join them? Can you rise from your seat? Put your hands together for them. Walk from wherever you are. Put your hands together. You are not sure. And you want to be sure. Come and join. Why come to church and not be sure that you go to heaven when you die? Why come to church and not be sure? So come. You want to receive restoration. You want to be reconciled to God. Come. Come and receive Jesus. Wherever you are, God bless you. Now let's all say this together. Very, very important time. Very, very important time. Let's all say this together. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Today, I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that Jesus is Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today and ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Oh, say it from your heart, of all my sins. And to wash me with your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by this prayer, from today, I am forgiven. And I am born again. And I am yours. And you are mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, welcome to the kingdom of God. Put your hands together for them. Put your hands together for them.
God bless you for listening to Active Word by Bishop Ishmael Sam. For copies of today's message or any other message by Bishop Sam, please contact us on 0244-534-816 or visit us at Loyalty House International, Abid Dowenya. You can also send Bishop Sam an email at pastorishmael@yahoo.com. For prayer and counseling, you can contact us on 0246-939-984. To support this program, send your donations via mobile money to 055-874-2922 or 050-940-0044. You can join us in worship via YouTube and Facebook Live at Bishop Ishmael Sam-DHMM. Also at Loyalty House International HQ page. You can also join us in worship this and every Sunday in our powerful gathering service at 9 a.m. at the Loyalty House International Abed Dowenya. God bless you.